recently bought a diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine, he's gonna take it to his private eye.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Boulder Beer Show. Or as Mike called it, the Over the Shoulder Boulder Beer Show. I don't know what that means. Well, we're enjoying some fine quality beverages that Rick brought with him. You there, Rick?
I am.
All right.
Had a little technical difficulty there.
That's all right, man. This is Raw Naked Podcast. Never Summer Ale, Sweaty Betty Blonde, and Obovoid Empirical Stout are the beers that we're drinking here. And Rick has the ever popular, delightful Hazed Infused, right?
I do, and that's the one I'm currently sampling right now.
And we have cracked open the Never Summer Ale to start with because, well, and I got obviously confused.
I was thinking,
okay, it's summer. This beer has summer in the name. And apparently I missed that first part. Never
summer. This is actually their winter seasonal.
Yeah, as I later discovered.
It was only 90 degrees outside today. It goes great.
We're not sitting outside drinking it. We're here enjoying the air conditioning and the indoor plumbing. And in drinking the Never Summer Ale, which now I don't have anything that's the description on this really gets to the point. It says a spice herb vegetable beer. Now, where's that coming from? I mean, it's got a little spice in it, but it's what I was trying to think. Is this like an amber or what would you call that, this
that,
type of beer?
That's straight out of the BJCP. That's like a beer category. It's one of those things where if I don't know what category I'm going to put this in, I'll put it in the spice, vegetable, whatever.
And I got that, but that's not the predominance of flavor I'm getting from this. It tastes like
just a kind of a healthy malty beer,
I don't know what's the spice? They're showing trees. Is there a tree in this? I'm not getting it. I would have put it in something different. Honestly, I was thinking this sort of got a red ale, like an Irish red.
Yeah.
But to me.
Or maybe like an alt or an old ale or something like that.
Well, the commercial description says deep ruby red in color, assertively hopped and brewed with dark caramel malt. Beer is definitely for the drinking town with the skiing problem.
And it calls it from Boulder. Not from Boulder. From Beer Advocate, they're calling this a winter warmer. And I don't get that either. I mean, you could drink this pretty much any time. It's a good beer.
It does have the heavy bodiness of a more of a winter beer.
It has got a little thicker mouthfeel, and I am getting, and I said that about the tree, I was kidding a little bit, but I get this sort of tiny pine aftertaste.
You can taste the hops in it for sure, but it's not overpowering at all. What do you remember when you had it, Rick? How long has it been since you had it?
It's been a while. I wish I would have saved a bottle for myself, actually.
And the other thing is, this is weighing in at just right at 5.9% alcohol. Not a lot. So for a winter warmer, 5.96% alcohol, that's not really a warmer to me. Warmers are more like, 8, 9, 10 and up alcohol.
Right.
That'll warm, with the alcohol.
Well, if you live in Alabama or Mississippi, you'd love to have this right now.
Oh, yeah, you would. But you ain't,
I looked it up on Boulder's website. It's one of those flash websites. It's kind of, I'm not a huge fan of those, but the grains are British dark caramel malt, U.S. two-row barley. The hops are Nugget, Willamette, Cascade, and Top Secret Brewer Spice.
Okay, so that's the spice that neutered it into that category. Otherwise, it'd be categorized as something else, right? You could pull a bunch of different descriptions. So this is really, I don't call it a spice beer or a winter warmer. I don't know what you put it as.
I'm still 5.9%. You don't dare call that a winter warmer.
No.
That's too high or too low.
I'm still leaning towards a red myself because it's got that kind of little biscuit in it, and then it just kind of finishes dry with a little bit of a
little bit of hop action on the end.
It's good. I'm enjoying this. Yeah. I was really worried a little bit when I found out how I screwed the pooch there, and it had nothing to do with summer. Thinking, oh God, we're going to start off with like this, you know, alcohol flavored molasses. But no, this is going down good. I don't think I'd want to sit outside and drink it all day long. But
one or two would be my tops on a summer day.
I'd have another one of these.
Yeah,
good stuff. So
well, it's seasonal, so you get a chance. Yep. Next year.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess this is now being June, gone,
mm-hmm.
well aged. If it's not. Right.
Now, when do they brew that for the winter? Are they brewing that like right now, or do they?
Oh, that's a good
question. I remember
question.
Taking a tour of the brewery in October, and they had it all cased and ready to ship out.
Okay.
And the brewery itself, Boulder Beer Company, we were talking about that earlier, and they are one of the oldest there, right?
Right. Started by two physicist teachers in Boulder. And it's had a long history of being bought out and funded, but right now I believe it's owned by Rock Bottom Brewery.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, because we were having that conversation before about the hazed and infused, and I was in an airport. An airport beer is generally not what you would, you know, expect it. But I had the airport beer at there, and it was a Rock Bottom, and I had the hazed and infused, and it was great. It was very good, and so I'm a fan of them and their beers and everything they do, and there's some though. It's really kind of awkward to get information about them because one of the beers coming up, when you look on, depending on where you look, it refers to something called the Looking Glass, right?
Now, the Looking Glass series, right? That's from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, now I figured that part out, but it's just like this one, the Welcome to Never Summer Ale. Is the third release in the Looking Glass series. The Sweaty Betty is also from the Looking Glass. And, you know, other than saying it's from the Looking Glass series, there's nothing to that. Why is it called that? Where did that come from? Et cetera, et cetera. I wants to know. So I can't find anything about it.
Well, next time I'm at the brewery, I'll certainly have to ask about that.
Yes.
You should.
You're right. I never really have delved into that one. But I like the... You know, everybody, most computer scientists and I guess physicists also have read a lot of the Alice in Wonderland quotes and the textbooks that we read. They just throw these little quotes in. So, you know, it's kind of an egghead thing.
Okay. So you got to be hip and down with Alice in Wonderland or fully appreciate the Boulder Beer website or their series. But you can be a complete dumbass and enjoy their beer, right? You can be a just total moron.
Why don't you call old David Zuckerman over there at the brewery and ask him?
Is he the man?
I could, actually. I'm sure he'd answer the phone.
All right.
Anyway, Hazen Infused, that's the one I'm drinking. It's natural and filtered state. It's infused with dry hopped with crystal and centennial hops during fermentation for a big, bold, unique taste. Originally a one-keg brew for the pub. It was so popular they had to distribute it to 20 states. So it's got medium caramel malt, U.S. two-row barley, U.S. roasted barley. It's got Chinook, Willamette, Cascade, Crystal, Centennial, hop additions, dry hop additions.
Yeah.
So it's pretty low at around 4.85 also.
So it's low alcohol, but
yeah,
a lot of hops. So that's a great session beer if you're a hop fan.
Yes, and it's one of my standards that's always in my fridge.
Yeah.
So if you drop by my household, I can certainly offer you a hazed.
That's good stuff. And, of course, we'll never see that here.
Not unless Rick brings it with him next
right.
time.
That's the only way.
Or we get a care package.
Load up the truck, Daddy. We're going to Memphis. Well, another bow we need to touch on is our great friend of show, Phil, out there from My Life as a Foodie, of all people, sent this to us, letting us know a sad day in Big Foamy Headland. He titled the email, Bo Diddley passed away today, 79 years of age. And so we did a little background, and that was the intro. Okay, the song there, that wasn't Bo Diddley singing. And as you listen to it, good tunes. The singer was a little, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a reason for that. The band is called The Rockers. You've never heard of them. That's W-R-O-C-K-E-R-S. That's short for Writers and Rockers. It is okay. A band, and I've known about this band for years, but I've never heard. I didn't realize they had a record out.
I thought it was just the way Barbara Walters pronounced it.
Not the Walkers.
Walkers.
Now, this is the Rockers with the W-R-A, but it's a band composed of writers. The man singing is none other than Stephen King.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was him. So, you know, Steve, don't quit your day job, baby.
Yeah. Strange days indeed.
But they've got, if you look them up, they've got all kinds of people that sit in with the band. Amy Tan, Dave Barry, all of these literary people. But I thought that was pretty cool. And I listened to the rest of the album, and oh, God, it sucked out loud. And that was as far as we could go with that song. But it's still in all this nice little tribute to Bo Diddley.
See?
So here's some Bo Diddley things. Everybody who's listening to any kind of music knows of Bo Diddley. Maybe not 100% sure.
Man, what an influence on music.
Huge influence. And here's kind of localizing it for us. We're at, Rick, as you recall, the Music Fest, watching Richard Johnston doing his deal with the Lobo, right?
Uh-huh.
And the Lobo is the cigar box with a couple of pickups and one or two strings. That is also known when it was an acoustic instrument from Africa known as a Diddley Bow.
Oh, wow.
So that's where Bo Diddley got his name from. Okay. And he did have a cigar box looking guitar, but he had all the strings on it. So that was the little footnote there. And, of course, one of his most famous songs that he ever did, he was given credit for it, but he didn't sing it. It was George Thorogood, Who Do You Love,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But that was his. So we got the original version by Bo Diddley, and this is 1956 or 59, a long past time ago. There's a little Bo Diddley, Who Do You Love, and we're going to love us a bowl of beer.
I was just a gleam in my daddy's eye when he was writing that song.
You wasn't even thought about
it. I wasn't even thought about it at that point.
All right, let's give it a listen.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. I use a cobra snake for a necktie. I got a brand new house on the roadside, made from rattlesnake hide. I got a brand new chimney made on top, made out of a human skull. Now come on, take a little walk with me, Arlene, and tell me, who do you love? 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 Tombstone hand and a graveyard mind, just 22 and I don't mind dying. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? I rode around the town, use a rattlesnake whip. Take it easy, Arlie, don't give me no lip. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Sky was blue, down the alley, ice wagon flew. Hit a bump and somebody screamed. You should have heard just what I seen. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Arlene took me by my hand. She said, ooh, wee, boy, you know I understand. Who do you love, honey? Who do you love? Who do you love?
Yeah, we were trying to get somebody to explain to us what exactly is the Looking Glass series.
It's our newest lineup of beers that started with Hazen and Deuce. It's basically just our newest addition to our lineup of beers.
Okay, are there any beers that aren't part of the Looking Glass series?
Yes, everything that was made before Hazen and Deuce.
Ah!
But why the term Looking Glass?
You'll have to talk to the people that made up the term Looking Glass.
Okay.
Okay.
You're just the messenger here, right?
The idea was, you know, it's just a whole new thing. It's through the Looking Glass. It's a whole different setup of beers.
Okay. Who could we talk to that might know that answer?
No one that's here right now. I can transfer you into a voicemail to Seth McFadden and Dan White, to the marketing people.
Okay.
They were also actually, I wasn't working here at the time that the Haze was created. It was just a little bit before me.
Okay.
So, but basically the idea is just like, you know, when you say it's through the Looking Glass, it's just a catchy way of talking about all our new beers.
Very good. Well, we're working our way through the series.
You know, really pushing the envelope of beer flavor and you know, and styles and category, you know, are the normal basic lineups that we had and that other people have. We are, like I said, pushing the envelope of taste and flavor.
We thought it might have something to do with Alice in Wonderland or something like that.
Well, I mean, that might have been, it doesn't have a direct correlation to that, but that, I'm sure, you know, that's obviously the biggest thing people think of when they hear Through the Looking Glass.
Okay.
So I mean, there may have been, you know, because the creative way of tying, you know, there is a tie-in to Alice in Wonderland.
Gotcha. But,
so you look like a big-eyed cat with a big grin on your face after you finish the Looking Glass series? Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, Dan, this is Dick, Rick, and Mike from Big Foamy Head. We're calling you live on our podcast, such as it is, and leaving this message. Wanted to talk to you about the Looking Glass series. We're enjoying three of your fine beverages, actually four. Never Summer, Sweaty Betty, Hazed and Infused, and the Obovoid Empirical Stout. I won't be able to say that after one more beer. So if you get a chance, give us a call back. Number is... Thanks, Dan. And, of course, I omitted the phone number to protect the not-so-innocent. So that's pretty good. The guy behind the bar...
And what was his name?
We never got his name.
I don't remember.
But he did a great job. I mean, yeah. He was just reeling it off.
We need to get him on the podcast regularly.
He did great. So we learned the Looking Glass series started with Hazed and Infused. So everything we're drinking tonight is part of the... And Mike just sampled the Sweaty Betty and is making a multitude of faces.
Man.
But so anyway, apparently, dude at bar wasn't really sure. Believes it has to do with Looking Glass series. And in response to my, well, drinking enough of these make you look like a big-eyed... shit-eating grand cat.
He said it might happen.
It might happen. Okay.
But he did refer us to the marketing department.
And
so we'll have to call them Monday.
And he wouldn't turn loose of the cell phone number. Mike said, what's the cell phone number? You got a social security
card? It never
hurts
to ask, man. Ask for more and you get just a little less.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see if Dan calls us back. And we'll continue.
Dan's a good guy. I talked to him quite a bit.
Okay, well, good. I should have gave him your number.
Well, you mentioned Dick, Rick, and Mike from Big Foamy Head.
I did.
So.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll find out.
Maybe he'll put two and two together and come up with 12.
Yeah, or six at least. So okay.
Do some name dropping. That's right.
So, Rick, do you have a Sweaty Betty?
I do not, but I am. I'm also without beverage, so I think I'll go.
Okay.
One off while we wait for the next one.
Because I'm kind of scared watching Mike flail around after trying.
I think what it was just so different than the other beer. It just really, I wasn't ready for it.
Okay.
It is definitely different.
Oh, man, that's a weedy rascal
that
there.
That is a weedy mother.
It's got a little hefty, just a tiny hefty taste. Good. That's got that typical wheat beer kind of.
It's almost got like a Belgian...
Yeah, a little spice, little spice notes at it. This would be good outside on a hot day.
Sure.
And it is, it's I'm assuming, unfiltered because it's got the hazed look. Mm-hmm. And let's see, the marketing speak on the side says irresistible, flirtatious, aromatic, soft, supple, unavoidable, smooth, exuberant, glistening, wild, firm, rare, succulent, luscious, ripe, natural, glowing, curvaceous, magical wheat.
Damn, say that 10 times fast, huh?
And it's the fifth release in our Looking Glass series.
Now, what is the Looking Glass series? Oh, we've been down that road.
Yeah,
sorry.
We went down that. We beat that dead horse. So it says, Sweaty Betty Blonde, the only wheat bold enough to take a trip through the Looking Glass. Don't let her be the one that gets away.
Ooh, take a trip and never leave the farm.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to have a pair of testicles on you to name a beer Sweaty.
Yeah.
You're asking for it. And you know there's got to be. I do not recall in the Alice in Wonderland any character named Betty or Sweaty. Sweaty. Yeah. Either one.
I do not either.
Okay. Yeah.
Neither do I.
Well, a blonde. There's a blonde in
Alice.
Yeah, Alice blonde. Is blonde, so that's some correlation there.
And see, now I can see hazed and infused,
yeah.
Right? Because we all know, you know, the Alice in Wonderland series is like based,
a big trip.
Based on drugs,
yeah.
Right?
Big trip.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you talk about weird names. There's a restaurant that opened up in Oxford, Mississippi called Big Ass Bad Breakfast.
Oh, now you got, okay. And that's one where you can't.
Why would
you
name a
around.
Restaurant Bad Breakfast?
Big ass bad. Bad as in good,
bad
as opposed
as in good,
to bad as but, in not good.
I mean, women and people like that would probably go, I'm not going to go eat a bad breakfast, you know?
No. Uh-uh. Well, what are you going to do, right? So, hey, they thought it was hip, happening, and cool, so yeah. We'll see, right?
Maybe they'll make $1 million.
So the Looking Glass series, the mystery continues, the debate rages. We're pretty sure it's something. And, of course, you know what I'm noticing? On the Looking Glass, if you look at their little logo, the LG in the mirror is backwards. Okay.
Hmm.
What could that possibly mean? Are we on the other side of the Looking Glass?
Yeah, because you're looking through the Looking Glass.
Well, you know, we drink a couple more of these. We'll be looking through beer goggles.
Isn't there goggles? A nuclear reference to Looking Glass also?
I don't know. You got me.
It's kind of the fail-safe end. Once you go past the point of no return... The birds are flying, so to speak, and I was wanting to say there was some reference to Looking Glass and nuclear oblivion.
I don't know that.
I'm drawing a blank, but I think there was a movie called The Looking Glass.
It says
back in the 50s or 60s.
It says the Looking Glass is the EC-135 airborne command post during a nuclear strike. Yeah. It's a Boeing 707 airframe loaded with high-tech communication equipment. Its battle staff and airborne was under the command of a flag officer, an Air Force general officer, or a Navy admiral. It says was. This may be
okay.
Retired.
It's probably decommissioned now.
It's got a picture of it.
Wow, nice.
You can find this and more. On the internet.
You know, that Al Gore stuff, you know.
Where everything is right.
It's all
and
correct.
Nothing is ever wrong. Yes.
I know it's got to be true. I read it on the internet.
Yeah, it is. That's all right. Mike, you were right. That was not just the beer talking.
Mm.
Oh, I almost made a copyright faux pas. I almost slipped up and said the alcohol talking. Copyright beer try. And our pal Johnny Mac.
Where
the
love
hell
it.
Does he come up with this stuff?
Ain't no telling.
Well, while we're on the subject, you know something we hadn't done in a while? I cannot believe how bad we've been.
Yeah, we've been awful.
We've neglected to mention beersafari.com.
It's a jungle out there.
It's a jungle out there. And all
the jungle of beer, I believe.
It's a jungle of beer, even. And all your favorite podcasts and a few that just suck out loud can be found on beersafari.com more than ever. That's true. Everybody's been kind of kicking in and producing here lately, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. If you hadn't been there, need to go there. Check it out.
And something we noticed just a while ago, we were kind of waiting on Rick, and we got to looking at blogs, beer blogs, and it looks like there's just every day there's just more and more blogs popping up.
Yep.
And, man, some of these guys are doing some really good sampling of beers and doing some good reviews. And there was, like, a guy from Brussels we ran across that was drinking some awesome beers.
40
40 beers in 40 days,
something along those lines. We're gonna, but we found some. But here was the one that we were poking around. And Rick, this kind of segues into what we were talking about offline about getting a little, not so much homebrew, but in this is these are some of the things you don't ever really think about, but apparently there are people out there who do. Jason at brewbasement.com has just had this question haunting him night and day, and finally he put it to the test. Will a beer taste better, look better, act better if you cellar it lying down instead of standing up? So he took two bottles.
I don't know if I could lay down that long.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of tricky while you're laying down.
That's the corollary. Does beer taste better if you drink it laying down? Now he took two bottles, and this is documented. It's he posted it today, and we were looking at going, look at that, the bottles, two bottles of Omegang Brewery, Three Philosophers, a Belgian quad, a lovely, lovely beer. And he laid one of them down on his side and one of them standing up and let them sit for 6 months. Then he poured them. He's got this big picture, side by side, same beer, same place, poured into the same glass, and one is noticeably different.
Mm-hmm. They are. You can and see
then,
the picture.
And so there, and then he talks about the flavor notes. And he said, although the flavor profile is essentially the same, different characteristics came out in different ways. So, pretty interesting reading, something I had not ever thought about.
We need
ever.
To try that. We ought to try it.
So
I don't think we can let beer last that long, though.
No, yeah, I know. That's
Six
the problem.
6 months is a long time.
And I see this other guy, and he's saying, I checked my beer cellar and got it on an Excel spreadsheet and wrote it down, and I have 92 bottles of beer in my cellar. And I'm thinking, man, you don't drink enough. I'm lucky if I got 9 bottles of beer left. Much less 92. You know, it's really hard for me to cellar beer. So, I mean, I admire guys that do that, but geez.
There are people who are taking this stuff very seriously, you know.
And I would love to do that, but, you know, the way I get beer around here is I smuggle it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, or it shows up by UPS or FedEx. Or,
magically. Yeah, magically. We don't know where it comes from either.
You just come home and it's sitting on your front doorstep.
It's the FedEx elves.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Are they kind of the Christmas elves?
If I'm bringing back one bottle, I'm going to drink it sooner rather than later. And, of course, the beers that we have on the show, I mean, they sit in my refrigerator, but I don't necessarily call them that cellaring because, depending on the weather, the beer studio varies, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing I had on here,
you have to tell me. I mean, you're leaving me in suspense. What was better, the beer that they laid down or the one that you had sitting upright?
Well, okay.
And these are corked beers, right? They're not
I believe they are. And Mike had a theory about this, and we got into this conversation. Okay, the one on the picture, it's the one on the left. The one that was laying down produced a noticeably better head. The one on the right, he said he had to really, he was poured aggressively, and it still didn't come out as good. The flavor profile was the same, but the one on the left, i.e. the one laying down, had brighter fruit notes, whereas the one that was cellared standing up had more roast and dark fruit flavors. There you go. Now, and he elaborates a little bit more in the article, so you need to check it out, brewbasement.com. And
now my argument against his findings are, I don't think you could do just two beers and come up with a conclusion. I think you need to maybe do 10 or 5 or 20 or whatever.
From true statistical analysis, you need at least 25.
Yeah.
Okay. But even if you did do that, it's still kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, to your point, it would be good to take cases, right?
Sure. Lay them on their side.
Lay half on their side. Lay half standing up.
Now, Rick, what do you think that does? I mean, if you lay a beer on its side, you've got more surface volume touching the air. You think that's doing anything to it?
The question is how much air is coming through the cork, because there's going to be some oxidation, and as beers age, you know, that's why they go bad, because they get oxidized. So that's going to bring out more of the raisin, Venice characteristic that you're going to have with the Omegang.
Well, the beer would be touching the cork.
I would imagine it'd get more Lame. Fruity as it got more oxidized.
Well, I'm and that was what
about that.
That was what the guy said. So that's a point, though, and a good point. It's a corked beer. What about the ones that aren't? And then, of course, I think also you got to have the right, you know, to sell or any beer, you got to have the alcohol or the hops to preserve it, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going right. to take your Miller Chills and age them. They're already well aged by the time you get to your yeah. favorite convenience store and pick one up. But it was still though. It was. It goes back to what people who really enjoy good beer think about. And this guy has obviously thought about it, yeah. laid it out, documented it, photographed it, and wrote about it.
Well, he got it
now,
from
the
wine.
Now, one of the things, if you have the opportunity, you should definitely go to a brewer's vertical tasting, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking beers from different years and different runs and different batches, and you're comparing them in a vertical manner. Those are a lot of fun, and I highly encourage people to take advantage of those if they have a brewery near them that does that.
Yeah, and that's definitely something you at least want to try.
We got no damn breweries around here.
No.
You got Bosco's.
Well,
they don't do that.
He doesn't do vertical tastings.
He doesn't bottle.
There's yeah. that. So. A couple of other things for this segment we talked about. I need to apologize to the country of Canada for dissing their health care a show or so ago. We gave our opinions, which were based on what we heard, not what we read or knew, just what we heard. And so one of the listeners wrote in, set us straight, and said, actually, things are pretty good. And just like any other country, you know, he's got his ups and downs. But so good to hear from the folks up there. And, you know, as always, our motto is, if we don't know what we're talking about, we're going to make it up.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
Damn right. Damn Skippy.
So I got another Bo Diddley song. We're getting on here in time a little bit. And this is the one, the song that we played at the start of the show. I'm going to play the real song. So this is okay. The real Bo Diddley. And this is the thing, listen to, this is recorded in 1955. That means the song is 53 years
and
old.
And it's much easier on your ears than the one you just heard.
It's a little better than Stephen King's version.
Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine, he gonna take it to a private eye. If that private eye can't see, he better not take the ring from me. Diddley caught a nanny goat to make a pretty baby a Sunday coat. Bo Diddley caught a bellcat to make a pretty baby a Sunday hat. Come to my house with black cat bones, I take my baby away from home. Mother, that photo, where's he been? Up to your house and gone again. Bo Diddley, have you heard? My pretty baby said she wasn't bird. We'll be right back.
diddly action there. I think 53 years ago. Sang that song. Pretty good, man.
Man, that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
How old are you?
Not 53.
Not 53. I hear you, brother. I hope I make 53.
I don't think my parents had even considered me at all, but man.
What you got in your hand there?
I got a shot of courage.
Woohoo!
That I'm tuning up here, or it's about to come your way. We're bringing back the class and culture. We've neglected that too.
We're sorry, listeners. We've really treated you badly.
The outcry has been raised, and we have listened, and we have responded. Maybe you wish we hadn't. You be the judge. But we've cracked open our next beer from the Looking Glass series, which, what is this one? The fifth, seventh?
I thought it was eight.
It says it on the side of the bottle there.
I think it's number eight.
So the deal is, any beer after Hazed and Confused is part of the
Look.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the movie. Dazed and Confused, not to be confused with Hazed and Infused.
A classic stoner movie from the 80s, I believe.
Dazed and Confused takes place on graduation day 1976. Because that was the first graduating class of my high school. I was the next year, but I relate.
Cool.
It's only a year difference.
What's an ovoid?
An obovoid?
No, an ovoid.
An ovoid, as opposed to an obovoid?
Yeah.
It's a sphere with an apex wider at the top.
Okay, well, an obovoid.
Who doesn't
is
know
an,
that?
An obovoid is an ovoid with the broad end toward the apex.
That's what I said.
Well,
at the top.
But what is an ovoid? Not an obovoid, but an ovoid.
Oh, it's the other way around.
Okay.
It's an egg. Depends on which side you're holding it.
Okay.
Look at the label. Turn it over.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
So if you turn that upside down, it'd be an ovoid?
You know how I know that?
I don't know.
I looked it up about an hour ago.
Why do you ask, two dogs?
I couldn't even say it, much less knew what the hell it was.
Empirical, relying on experience or observation alone, often without due regard for system and theory.
And I knew that because empirical medicine or empirical evidence says the facts say this. Screw the reality.
Okay.
So empirical is not always a good thing.
Right. It could kill you. It might say it's not going to, but it could.
Operation was a success, yet the patient died.
Yeah.
Okay, who's right?
We put the new heart in him, and it worked out great until he died.
Until he died. Okay, so the Mike, you were raving about this.
And Rick,
you're drinking this too, so what are the collective thoughts about the Obovoid Empirical Stout?
Oh, right? It's a very nice stout. It's dark, and it's got a lot of the coffee roast flavor, says you smell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love it.
It's got a dark tan head. Mine was actually pretty pillowy at first, but that's because I poured it into a dirty glass. It's kind of dissipating now.
Mine is ringing. I've got nice rings around it. If I swirl it, I can make some more, and it's clinging pretty good. Mine's it's not a dirty glass like yours, but it is. It's doing real good. It is still holding a little head. It's holding the head a lot longer than most of the stouts.
Yeah.
I'm not getting quite as much. I'm using my official New Belgium snifter sort of glass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting as much coffee nose as typically I smell, but the taste is
more chocolatey.
Yeah, it is. I'm less coffee. There's the roast, but not like overwhelming roast, right?
So it says it's an oak-aged oatmeal stout, as dark in color as deep space. Aging obovoid on oak adds an earthy character to the roasted notes and bittersweet chocolate finish derived from the black and chocolate malts. Obovoid has a rich mouthfeel and pours a creamy off-white color head. It's the eighth in the series, the Looking Glass series.
And numbers, we didn't mention numbers earlier. The Sweaty Betty, by the way, you said we all enjoyed that. Good, refreshing, quenching beer.
I really did. I liked it.
But I'm looking at the numbers on our friends from Rate Beer. They kind of panned Sweaty Betty, and this is a low number, and I have to respectfully disagree. I think it has to do, you have to have it in context. If you're drinking this in the dead of winter, that'd be one thing. Go outside and enjoy a Sweaty Betty, and I think you'll have a whole different appreciation. Mm-hmm. The Empirical Obovoid Empirical Stout, weighing in at 84, 203 ratings, and this is our highest alcohol of the night, 7.5%. And this is just everything you'd want. And Rick, you said oatmeal stout. I didn't see that on there.
And oak.
It's not too much of it, though. It's just, you just got that little hint, and the oatmeal, I don't think, is overdone. I think they were not cautious, but I think they were just had a little light touch with both, and it's a damn tasty beverage.
I just, I love a stout. I really do. I love a stout. Yeah. Man, yeah, flavor.
And that's what this is. Eat up with flavor, and you drink it, and you get this, and that, and that, and it finishes, and you kind of get all of the above.
You can drink it for 2 or 3 minutes, set it down, and then, you know, come back and take another sip, and it's almost a different beer.
Yeah.
Something else comes out, isn't as
mouthfeely as a lot of the stout, especially on oatmeal stout, right? You're going to get thick. That's not quite there.
And this one finishes pretty quick, too. It doesn't just linger and, you know, overpower you or anything. Yeah. I really like it. I think it's awesome.
And I've discovered this goes well with Wild Turkey Liquor.
Gosh. What doesn't go well with Wild Turkey Liquor?
This is true.
Maybe strawberry pie?
I would disagree with you, sir. I think strawberry pie would be just fine with Wild Turkey Liquor. That makes me want to try it right now. But we were talking about, what were we talking about? Space. About
the final frontier.
Well, Mike was doing his daily reading, and he was at Modern Drink Magazine, and they happened to come across a little segment.
Yep.
We're going to call Drunks in Space.
Space.
Why Astronauts Get Blasted Before They Blast Off by Frank Kelly Rich. You guys ready?
Ready.
It was recently revealed that American astronauts were sometimes drunk prior to and perhaps during their missions. Strangely, this revelation scandalized some and baffled others. In the following dramatization, Modern Drunkard magazine attempts to explain why such a thing may have come to pass. Dr. Robert Gilruth, head of the Mercury Project, walks into a briefing room where solitary Alan Shepard sits. In 2 hours, Shepard will attempt to become the first American in space.
Well, Al, you ready to make history?
Fuck you.
What's wrong, son? Got the pre-launch jitters?
No, I just finally wised up to exactly what we're doing here. You're going to strike me on top of a giant stack of explosives and blast me into goddamn space.
Come on, Al, even you know we've sent monkeys up.
Yeah, and where are they now? Can I meet those monkeys?
Well,
of course I can't. They're still up there, frozen stiff in their capsules. None of them came home. Well, okay, except for the one, and he got thawed out real fast. Got goddamn fricasseed on reentry.
Actually, he just drowned in the ocean.
Well, that's a relief.
Gilroy sighs, reaches inside his suit jacket, and produces a pint of whiskey.
That's your line.
I have a present for you, Al. I was going to give it to you when you came back from a great American hero. But since you're not going, you might as well have it now.
No, is that the game? Get me knockered and strap me to the murder missile?
Just have a taste. It'll settle your nerves.
Okay, but only because it's my brand.
Shepard takes a pull off the drop bottle.
There, that's better.
Says you. I still ain't going near that thing.
Have another jolt for good luck.
Yeah, it'll help me face the reporters when I tell those cocksuckers I ain't going.
Sure, go ahead. Take the neck off that bastard.
I think I know how to drink liquor, Bob.
Shepard shows the bottom of the bottle and what the ceiling looks like.
Did I ever tell you about the time me and John Glenn got rip-roaring on this stuff and stole Gordo's Harley and jumped that fucker over?
Sure. That's why we chose you for this gig, Al. You're all balls and no...
Brains? Is that it?
No. I was going to say all balls and no backing down.
Goddamn right. Remember when that crushy X-14 rode that son of a bitch right into the dirt and walked away without a scratch?
Bottle's getting lonely, Al.
Not for long. Boy, that's the right stuff.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe you're not cut out for this deal. We figured you might choose not to go. We have Glenn standing by.
Standing by my ass. That motherfucker's camped out on his crapper just in case he gets the call.
He told me he's raring to go.
Shit. And I ain't going exactly. I never said that. I just wanted you to grasp that, you know? This shit is dangerous. You understand me? What I'm doing? Fucking dangerous, man. I just wanted you to grasp that.
We grasp it fine, Al.
Good, good. It's just that, you know, you motherfuckers need to respect what I'm doing here. I'm goddamn blasting off into fucking space.
I knew you had the guts.
Shepard finishes off the bottle and wings it into a corner.
Who the fuck ever doubted my guts? Tell you what, stick a case of dynamite under a milk crate and I'll climb on top of that motherfucker and ride it to Pluto. That's the kind of guts I got.
That's my boy.
I'm gonna go see those monkeys. Couple belts of booze and they'll wake right up. Goddamn monkeys. You know, Bob, I wouldn't mind having a drink with those monkeys.
Wouldn't we all, Al? Wouldn't we all?
All right, step back, motherfuckers. Big Al's going to space, sputting my ass. Here comes the goddamn U.S. of A., you commie bastards. Keep your filthy Bolshevik hands off our space monkeys.
You tell them, Shep.
I'm ready to go. Give me the keys of that motherfucking rocket. I'll drive.
Frank, Kelly, Rich.
That was good. Give me some skin.
Completely unrehearsed.
Brilliant.
I don't know about brilliant, but it was acting.
No, you got into the role. I could feel it. I was feeling it.
You can imagine sitting there doing that too, you know?
I tell you what. That's fun. Boy. All right. I'm glad you found out. I had no idea what was coming next.
Yeah, that's the first time I read it.
I know. We only blew one line.
Yeah, not bad.
I can edit that out, right?
Not bad.
That's right. We do things without read-throughs.
So that was a little class and culture, and that was just big fun. And
well, I think we ought to do a twofer.
We are doing a twofer. We need to kind of bring it around now to our ever-popular segment, bringing it back, the Beer Haiku, and Rick has done extensive research, at least 5 minutes.
We're not worthy. But, we're not worthy.
So we're going to have it here now with a little bit of class, a little bit of culture. Rick?
All right. The Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku from Captain Hops at beerhaikudaily.com. As if I need one. Mowing the grass, an excuse to drink a beer this spring afternoon. Beer Haiku. Class. Culture.
Excellent. Class. Culture.
I love it. Very good.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. Although, what do we got, like 2 weeks in the summer? Right?
Amen,
something
brother.
Like that?
We're cutting grass.
I know.
We're killing gophers and moles and varmints and
all of the wildlife in your yard.
Hey, let me tell you something. I have got moles out the wazoo in my yard. I actually killed one today, as a matter of fact. Got him with a shovel. Traps. I've tried poisons.
You tried a carbon monoxide.
Yeah,
them
I've
rodents.
Done every damn thing, and them bastards are wearing my yard out, and I'm tired of it. I really am.
I smell vermin poontang, and the only good vermin poontang is dead vermin poontang. I think.
I'm trying to get the neighborhood association to pitch in to buy a rodentator
for your yard.
Yeah. Well, we've got them all over the common areas too, and we need to cure
any.
That.
I don't have any.
Well, I'll bring them over and put them in your yard. Then you'll be pulling for a rodentator.
I'm on the God side of the lake. We don't have any rodentators.
Man, I tell you, I must not be holding my mouth right or something, but these bastards are wearing me out.
All right, show yourself, you little vermin. You got your guts.
And I take pride, Malone. I want it to look pretty.
Don't hold back, Mike.
I'm pissed, man. I want a goddamn rodentator.
You know what's happening is humans are pushing the rodents into away from their natural habitat into our neighborhoods. So
right.
It's really your fault, Mike.
Yeah, pretty much is.
Kiss my ass.
If he had a better
white
dumpster.
Male over 40, it's your fault.
Oh, now we're getting race card into this thing, huh? Right.
Race and age. He's discriminating all up one side and down the other.
Well, I'm telling you, I want a Rodinator. Go to the Rodinator website and click on the video. You need to click on one of the videos. They're hilarious.
Spell it URL again. the Rodinator?
Well, I just Rodinator. I Googled Rodinator.
They got videos all over
R-O-D-E-N-A-T-O-R,
YouTube.
R-O-D-E-N-A-T-O-R, and he's not kidding. All over.
And then when you go to the YouTube site, there's videos of gopher varmint hunters.
Okay.
That shoot these gophers like at 200, 300 yards away with these high-powered rifles, and they just blow up into smithereens, you know, or maybe they'll do cartwheels after they hit them. And, oh, it's just mass carnage, right, man.
I got to take us off of this.
Oh, right. I love carnage, man. We got to get it. We got to get it going. Now.
Well, it's kind of carnage. I watched this movie the other night, and I think we talked about this a while back offline. It's on Netflix now. It's not in theaters. No Country for Old Men.
Mm.
Now, I know that one, and I watched it.
That's a bloody movie.
It's a it's not, you know, it wasn't as bad. Rambo's a lot worse.
Yeah.
But the end was kind of off-putting.
It was weird. I told you.
It didn't end like I wanted it
to.
Yeah,
it was strange.
Not at all. And so that was kind of like a let down, but on the other hand, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah, what's next?
So, yeah. Yeah, so it was a good show. It was a good show.
What did you think about the killing device he had?
Oh, yeah. That was very cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, the funny thing was, and this
I
is
need
a,
that for my
mind. It was a cattle prod, right?
Or is it? It was a.
No,
it was not a
cattle
prod. It was like an air hammer for killing steer.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was shot out at a high rate of speed, a steel rod.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's what I need for my moles.
There, yeah, if you get close enough, you can touch a mole. Reach out and touch a mole.
You know, this morning it was kind of weird because I looked out the backyard and there's this huge amount of dirt, raw, fresh dirt coming up out of the grass. I'm thinking, God dang it, we got another one, you know.
License to kill gophers by the government of the United Nations. Man, free to kill gophers at will. To kill, you must know your enemy. In this case, my enemy is a varmint. And a varmint will never quit, ever. They're like the Viet Cong. Varmint Cong. So what you gotta do, you gotta fall back. That's superior firepower. And superior intelligence. And that's how she
Well, wrote. I go running out there, and I'm looking at the mound of dirt, and it's just sitting still. And so I wait a little bit, nothing happens. So I go back in the house.
Hmm.
Well, first off, I wiped off that fresh dirt. And then 30 minutes later, I'm in the house. I'm on the computer, blah, blah, blah. Come back. There's more dirt coming up.
So he's down
So I went
there.
Running out
he's
there.
He's down there digging.
I've got this long shovel with about a foot blade on it. And next thing you know, you see the dirt popping up. I'm like,
oh,
I got that fucker.
Okay.
And I wait and I wait and I put the shovel right over it. All of a sudden, boom, boom, the dirt starts popping up. Wham, go down in the hole.
With the blade?
With the blade. Don't know if I got him or not, but nothing's moving around, and I think I got him. But then I kind of move it over a little bit, and when I push it down, I heard something go, pew, like air escaping a bladder or something. I dug him up, and I got that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I got him, man. You're one for the good guys.
You're a man now.
Got one for the good guys.
This sounds very much like a movie I saw, let's say, back in the 80s.
Called Caddyshack?
A little I'm All Right.
Yeah.
Song going on there. Bill Murray out there watching the golfers.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Man, I'm telling you, they wear me out. That is one of my pet peeves. I just can't stand to see those tunnels going through my yard. And it's just killing my grass.
I believe you.
Keep them away from the C4, man.
I'm not there yet, but the Rodinator's pretty damn close,
you
man.
You have convinced us all of your hatred.
Yeah. If anybody wants to send checks, you know, for my Rodinator experiment.
The Rodinator Fund.
Yeah, mail them to Dick Pepper at
BigPummyHead.com. We accept PayPal.
Yeah.
Actually, we don't. Hey, I'm looking through the show notes, and we were going to talk about this polygamy.
Yeah. I put that down there because it seems that for whatever reason, God help us, when we get off and offer our opinion about things, of course, we went down the rodent path. This struck me, and I don't know how I feel about this, okay? On the show notes, I thought, okay, here's something interesting to talk about, and we can render an opinion on. And it was the cult. And I almost hate using that word cult, right? For the polygamist sect of the charge.
But don't you think they're all brainwashed out there? I mean, they got to be to put up with that crap.
I don't know if I can say that. Okay. The short version is the FLDS, the Fundamental Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. This is the Mormon radical offshoot, not the Mormons. The Mormons, over a century ago, abandoned the practice of polygamy, having more than one wife. But the FLDS...
You really believe that?
I'm telling you what I read. I cannot speak to whether it's true or not. But yeah, I mean, I know a number of Mormons. They only have one wife. One is one not.
Yeah, there's so many of them that are still practicing it to this day.
Well,
that's
now,
my question.
Now?
Isn't one enough?
This fundamentalist church, the FLDS, they're not the Mormon church. They're a radical sect.
Okay.
Says so. And they believe in polygamy, and if you've seen pictures of them, the women all wear these long dresses, and they're very devout people, mm-hmm. and so forth, so on. They raise their children. But I wrote, you know, when I sent you all the show notes about the little kids, the judge ruled this morning,
mm-hmm.
400 of them, that they had, the FBI, et cetera, had taken them, and had now has been made to return them to mm-hmm.
the pedophile,
the dad and mom. And mom, and mom, and mom,
and mom, and mom,
and mom, and mom, and mom.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, shockingly, I do have an opinion on this.
What is your opinion?
Okay. I think that polygamy is cool. I mean, if you want to have multiple wives, you ought to be able to. I also think that the homosexuals can marry each other. That if you're for gay marriage, then you have to be for polygamy for the same reasons.
Okay.
And if you're not, you're a hypocrite.
All right, and now I have a slightly more twisted version of that, because if
I'm
we were
totally against marrying a 12-year-old, though.
Okay, why?
Sick.
Why?
Well, because that's
because who draws the line?
Yeah, where do you
draw the line at true love or the flavor of it? Because if you look at
flavor, I'll tell
you. I mean, because you know, like you said, okay, gay marriage, right? Is it right? Yeah. Is it wrong? Whose decision is it? Okay, well, here's the thing. This is what I would say. And you're always going to defy somebody's idea of convention, right or wrong, right? Okay, that's a given. Nobody mm-hmm. is ever going to... I mean, hey, in the eyes of many people, if you divorce, you're going straight to hell. Okay?
True.
Okay, so that means 50% of all marriages are going to burn in hell. Because they get divorced.
Ain't going to be no people in hell.
Okay. All right, so if you look at the other...
It's not an 18, 20-year-old is capable of making pretty good decisions.
Okay, that's
now,
true.
If the parents of a 18-year-old girl had good reason to get a lawyer and prove that their child can't make good decisions, then they could probably get a marriage annulled or have her committed or whatever. But they would have to prove that she can't make a... You know, an educated decision.
Well, the law is there for a reason, to mm-hmm. protect the majority. Okay? So, reel this back about 150 years ago. What was the average age? What was the average age of a pioneer woman getting married?
I'd probably say 14, 15.
I would too.
Yeah.
Now, there you go. Different time,
different
era,
time.
Different
you
rules.
Needed, you needed
old enough to bleed. Old enough to breed.
And plus, well, plus, if you lived to 35, you were old.
You were old. And lifespan was short. And you needed to hurry up and have kids to help on the farm. You needed a strong, big family to support the family.
Okay. And so then bring that around. Okay. You're right. Theoretically, in where we sit here in Collier, Vegas, we don't need that now.
Right.
But.
I mean, you only need one kid to cut the grass.
Okay. But look over here. At our friends at the fundamentalist sect with their little children.
Yeah.
And they're polygamist. There's daddy and mama, 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 mama.
Right.
A man can have many wives. They base this on the teachings and their interpretation of the Bible. So mm-hmm. is it right? Is it wrong? Personally, and as I said before, why would you want to have more than one wife?
Yeah.
I mean, just for... economics aside.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it comes to the way they're raised and what they're taught is the female is so subservient. There you go. That's what I was looking for. To the male in the family.
Yeah.
And, I believe the males just get their way. And that is such a strong male society, that, I mean, even the older males kick out the younger males, so there's more females for the older males.
Okay, so if you were to look at this, and if this was this sect, let's say we pick them up, we transplant them, and we say, oh, there's this sect of people in the Ukraine that do this, would we say, oh, well, that's their culture, their society, we could, like, kind of write that off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say it was okay, except for the married 12-year-old.
Because I'm kind of vague. I know they do promote marrying young.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, do they recognize civil law? I don't know. Even the Catholic Church recognizes civil law.
Right.
And they say, well, if it's okay with the law, then
Read in the Bible, it talks about government, minding the government and obeying the government.
Well, it's also which Bible.
I mean,
too,
but
right?
But why doesn't the polygamist? Why doesn't their sect?
Well, I guess it's a matter of interpretation. When you get into religion, you get into things like this. It's always going to come down to how do you interpret?
They need to go get their own damn island, create their own freaking country, and do what they want to do if that's what they want to do. But they can't do it in America.
But with that,
that's what Utah was. Actually.
Yeah,
but it's not anymore.
But it was, though. Joseph Smith
not anymore.
But that's like, okay, well, hell.
He took them out to the wilderness and created his own land, you know.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let's say you go into a restaurant. You used to be able to smoke there, but you can't now. You go in there and light up, what the fuck happens to you?
Right.
You get your ass kicked out.
Right, but the FBI doesn't raid you and take your children. A slight difference.
But there's no children involved in you smoking, though.
No, but there is if you got seven wives.
But if you went in there and were banging your own little 13-year-old girl or something.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute. Now, I don't know that it mentions incest. You're bringing a whole different thing. There is no way to justify that.
Yeah.
Okay. But... okay, here.
But on that farm you're talking about, with all those people that are related to each other, next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire.
I guess.
Let's take it back to Janet Reno invading Waco and basically forcing those people's hands, and they all just committed suicide and burned themselves.
I think that was a slightly weird. That I would use the word cult.
Yeah, but at what point does government become draconian? You know.
Well, that's
where
true.
It's actually. You don't really have a right to say yay or nay to what these people believe.
I mean, if we're going to uphold freedom of religion, right?
Okay. Well,
there were some things going on that compound that needed to be looked into, and that's what they were trying to accomplish.
I don't disagree with that, and it went horribly wrong.
It went horribly wrong. It really did, and that's sad. A lot of good, innocent people died there, but, you know, and accidents happen.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. So if we're to look at people though who do certain things, at some point society's going to draw a line, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no innocent.
I mean, you know, I hunt and fish, and there's people that abhor hunting and fishing.
Yeah,
they think that's the most.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
you're out there slaughtering little gentle animals and moles and voles.
Me being a Bible loving, law-abiding
flag-waving
American,
yeah,
I have
my
right to go out there and kill whatever I want to kill as far as an animal goes, as long as I do it on the right month and date
in the right
year.
Season, yeah.
And have my license and all that stuff and catch my fish and go home, eat them, clean them, and all that good stuff. Clean them and eat them.
In that order.
So...
Okay, so you're obeying society's law, but we're not talking about going out and killing an animal. We're talking about, okay, so let me throw one, wait, let me say three words.
Well,
let me tell you
something real quick.
I want to make a point.
I want to hear the three words.
That guy out there on that compound that you're talking about out in Utah.
Which guy?
Fields or Feds or whatever his name is. In Utah, the guy over the church.
Jeffs.
Jeffs.
Yeah.
He is throwing lives away.
I understand. And
he's in jail now.
I know. But how many people has he kicked off that compound that have turned into people that have gotten murdered, people that have murdered. I mean, he has made a I don't know what I want to say.
Well, he's kind of has he not created his own kind of like little kingdom?
Sure.
Little empire?
Yeah.
Okay, that's wrong.
I know.
That's not adhering to the religious tenets.
And that
and that's where you went.
A cult.
That's it, you are right.
Yeah.
I believe I agree with you.
And I just don't understand why or how we're going to return these kids back to the order of this society that is man, it's wrong.
Well, okay.
Because they want to be with their mom and their mom and their mom and their mom.
Exactly. Well, okay, so where do you draw the line there? The mom's still the mom?
If somebody came and took my kids, I'd be damn pissed off at them.
And it doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim or you're a Hindu or Christian or what, your kid's your kid, right?
Yeah, if the damn government came in and took my kids.
You're going to be pissed. Yeah. Okay.
You know what makes me want to jump up on that egg crate strapped full of dynamite and just get the fuck off
that motherfucker's face. Say hey to the monkeys. I love that. That was such a good find. We need more scripts.
That was fun. We need to do more acting.
Oh, yeah. So I got to tell you this. I defy any other podcast to come out and show as many scripted deals than us. We'll step up and do it, man.
Well, out of the 350,000 podcasts out there, I'm sure that somebody's doing a better job.
I doubt it. Nobody. No, but I mean, just the whole deal, though, with the thing, and it struck me as odd, though, the contrast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got something that take the little kids out of the equation, and you look at it, and this is no Waco. This is some people who believe in polygamy. Okay.
Yeah, it's not Ruby Ridge either.
It's not the Manson family. It's like, dude, here's got four or five wives. My first thought is, you poor bastard. You know? Okay. You ready for the three words? I alluded to the three words. Here they are. You ready? Three words. Jerry Lee Lewis. Come on. Married.
He's still alive.
Married, other than that.
Despite our best efforts, he's still alive.
I know.
Well, that young pussy keeps you young, I guess.
But, I mean, he's what? Married his 13-year-old cousin?
Yeah.
And as the 100% accurate portrayal by Dennis Quaid of him in the movie Great Balls of Fire, it teaches us he really did love his Winona Ryder.
But you know what? He's pretty close to the crossroads. Maybe he went down and made a deal.
Yeah, could be. And, you know, they ain't not married no more.
That's right.
So, but I mean, you got to look at that. He was not a polygamist.
Mm-hmm.
He just married somebody and, you know, standing up saying, this is who I love. And this, you know.
Wait, no, Elvis took a young bride.
Priscilla,
right,
yeah.
Dick, I know why you're arguing. And no, you're not going to marry off your young daughter.
No. I'm not.
You got to raise them until they're old enough to get married.
I am. If my young daughter came home and said, I want to marry dude here, I'd say, hell no, my dead body. No, let me rephrase that. Over his dead
over
ass.
Over his dead ass, yeah.
Because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, I'm pretty sure you were trying to set someone up.
No,
to come out,
not
come
at
off
all.
And marry off a young woman.
Not at all. I'm not saying I approve. I think it's irresponsible. And honestly, I think you should wait until you're at least 26 years old to get married. Because, you know,
minimum. I think that they're waiting 26,
days,
28, 30.
These days, show me one 21-year-old come back in 3 years, and that's a different person.
Yeah.
And
you know, I didn't get married until I was 28.
I mean, my mother.
And I'm celebrating my 20th anniversary this year.
Really?
Congrats.
No shit.
Good, good. I mean, my mother got married, I think she was 18 when she got married.
Mm-hmm.
But this was many years ago when you had
a
much older 18, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the kids 16, 13, 16, 18 years old,
you know,
they don't know shit.
They grow up fast, but they are not maturing fast.
Although they're exposed to so much more.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
But they aren't mature at all.
Right.
They're wise in
the ways of the world, but not on how to deal with it.
No.
They're aware.
Mm-hmm.
They're aware of the ways of the world. But, you know. That's the alcohol
right,
talk.
Well, yeah. And this is a 60-minute segment going.
It's coming along good. So I think we've covered a lot. All right, so let's wind it up. There's Mike's one. I believe that's your third wife's ringtone, isn't it? Or is that your fifth wife?
No, that is that's the neighbor calling, wanting to know if we have a beer available for him.
Okay. Well, tell him, come on down.
Come on down.
So we need to recap. The beer's from Boulder Beer, Boulder Brewing, from Boulder Beer Company.
Spit it out.
One of them in Boulder, Colorado. We had the Ova Void Empirical Stout, the Sweaty Betty Blonde, and the Never Summer Ale, and the ever popular.
Aged and infused.
That's the one. So, Rick, of the four, which you've had three or two, what do you what's your number one and why?
Well, I love Haze just as a session beer that I keep in my fridge all the time. I mean, the other ones are nice, well done examples of the style, but the Haze is the one I keep in my fridge.
Okay, Mike, what do you what's your call on these beers?
Oh gosh, decisions, Oblivion.
Yeah,
Oblivion.
Or also known as Obovoid.
Obovoid.
Has sent you into the Oblivion, the Empirical Stout. And honestly, I am going to have to go with you. I mean, I like the other two. The Sweaty Betty, I like the Never Summer. They both had their...
If I had to pick a true favorite of tonight, it would be the Obovoid, but the Sweaty Betty came pretty close. Because I love the heavy taste and the spice. Mm-hmm. Combined, I thought it was really good.
And this time of year, that's mm-hmm. the one, that's kind of what you want a go-to beer, especially during the day, mm-hmm. right? And the Never Summer Ale, although I completely screwed the pooch on that one, I thought it had something to do with summer. It was still a nice,
it was good.
Kind of Irish red to me.
Yeah.
Apparently, we all have no idea what it really is. And but the Obovoid, a good all-around stout, all of the notes hitting, and like you said, come back, drink it, different, slightly different taste.
If I ever get the opportunity to buy them, I will buy any of these three again.
I would agree with that. But I got to go with Rick, too. The Hazed and Infused is a fantastic go-to beer.
Send us one, Rick.
All right, so we got to wrap up this three-hour segment.
Three-hour tour.
Hey, it was good. It was all quality audio, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Okay. At least we think so now. So we're on to the Wild Turkey Liquor. It's only downhill from here. Our
Marbo Diddley, God rest his soul.
That's right. Our condolences. We lost another one today. Thanks, Bill, for keeping us abreast. Of what's going you said breast. But thanks for keeping us updated. Visit beersafari.com. It's a jungle of beer out there. A shitload of podcasts.
And we
some
didn't
suck.
Have one mention about Lebanese this week.
Not
this
a
evening.
One. We're on a Lebanese
on a roll.
Diet.
We're on a roll.
So, all right. Sounds good. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back to see us.